You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WBZH. I'm Mark Lundeen, and here's what's happening in Hayward today. The Northwest Community Food Shelf will once again be opening up at 10 o'clock. This is located at the Spider Lake Youth Center, located at 11255 Highway 77, just north of the Hayward Hospital on the left-hand side. And of course, they have lots of meats and produce, and everyone's encouraged to come get food from the program regardless of your financial situation. Check it out again from 10 o'clock until 3 today at the Spider Lake Youth Center on Highway 77. The Strong Bodies program is available at the Lacouturay Aging and Disability Center, located at 13856 West Corbine Road in Stone Lake. Starting at 10:30 and go until 11:30, this program is shown to increase strength, muscle mass, and bone density. Classes are held twice weekly and include progressive resistance training, balance training, flexibility exercises, and so much more. If you need transportation, it's available. You just got to give Bob a call, 715-699-3529. Again, that's 715-699-3529 to give Bob a call and get a ride to the LCO Elder Center for their Strong Bodies program. Super Seniors classes is also being offered at the Hayward Senior Resource Center. Starting at 11 o'clock, the Resource Center is located at 15856 East 5th Street here in Hayward. Starting at 11 o'clock, it's a 45-minute class geared to those 60 and older, and it's a chair-based program. They work on balance, strength, coordination, core, and, of course, having fun. For more information, you can call 715-634-3000 or just stop in, again, 11 until 12 today at the Hayward Senior Resource Center. A midweek movie will be shown at the Hayward Library. Starting at 1 o'clock, you'll be looking at Finding Dory, held at the Sherman and Ruth Weiss Community Library out on 77. Again, midweek movie today starting at 1 o'clock. Finding Dory is the title of the movie, along with some free popcorn. A credit repair workshop is being sponsored by the Lacouturay Ojibwe University today at 12 o'clock until 2, and then another session from 5 until 7. This credit repair workshop will help you understand how credit scores really work, common credit myths, and how to address collections, charge-offs, and late payments, and of course, tips on how to build strong credit. Again, this is being offered through the university. You can give them a call at 715-588-1600. Again, that number is 715-588-1600. Again, this is a credit repair workshop being held at the LCO University at 12 and at 5 today. So check that out. A new exhibit is opening up at Art Beat of Hayward at 4 o'clock this afternoon, located at 15845 West 2nd Street. They will be displaying broad strokes, watercolorists, and Helena fiber artwork. For more information, you can call 715-934-2780. Again, a new exhibit opening up with broad strokes, watercolorists, and Helena fiber art at 4 o'clock at the Art Beat of Hayward. Power pump exercise classes is going to be held at the Cable Community Center at 4 o'clock today. This dumbbell class is designed for all fitness levels, targets all major muscle groups by using exercise such as squats, presses, lifts, and curls. Emphasize low weight loads and high repetitions and motivational music. Again, Power Pump, happening at the Cable Community Center, located at 13660 County Highway M in Cable. Wednesday night supper is being offered by the First Lutheran Church in Hayward, located at 10680 Main Street. From 5 until 6 today, you can drive up and someone will greet you and give you the number of meals that you are needed, and a free will donation is just asked for. For more information, you can call 715-634-2141. 715-634-2141. Again, Wednesday night dinner at the First Lutheran Church here in Hayward, starting at 5 o'clock. The Tammy Schwartz Wellness Studio is offering a new perspective on health. This free event will bring clarity to nutrition and what leads to optimal health. Starting at 6:30 at the Tammy Schwartz Wellness Studio, located at 15770 East Guard Street here in Hayward. Starting on Thursday morning at 9 a.m., the girls varsity golf from several schools will be out at Northwestern High School for their golf tournament. Again, this is for Barron, Chautauqua, Cumberland, Grantsburg, Ladysmith, Luck, Frederick, Unity, Spooner, St. Croix Falls, many, many schools involved in this tournament at Northwestern High School for girls varsity golf. At 10 o'clock on Thursday, the Engage Knitting will be happening at the Hayward Library. Join the fun, whether you're a beginner or experienced knitter, or maybe you prefer a different craft and would just like the camaraderie. For more information, you can call 715-634-2161. Again, for Engage Knitting at the Hayward Library at 10 a.m. You've been listening to WBZH Hayward Today, local report on mornings with Pat Kreitlow. To stay up to date with everything in the Hayward Lakes area, download the Civic Media app and click on WBZH in the station listings. Coming up after local news and information, Pat Kreitlow returns. I'm Mark Lundeen, and I'll be back here in 20 minutes on Buzz of the North. It's 6:59.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
More with Pat Kreitlow here. Coming up on a Wednesday morning, Joel and Gray. We are fired up for a Wednesday, aren't we, Gray?
I'm here on Wednesday.
Most of the topics that we have a little fun talking about here at the 7 o'clock hour are topics that Gray has, he has no idea what it's going to be. Right now, you have no idea where I'm going.
See, and this wasn't how we originally designed it, but I've really grown to enjoy it.
You haven't complained, so I just keep rolling with
you're
it.
You're doing the work, so like I feel bad, but like this is a nice little thing we got going here, and that's what the lazy guy always says.
We literally turn on the mic and Gray has no idea. So today, I want to talk about something that you and I talked about on another format a while back, and that's called riding the school bus. I don't know, did we talk about that?
I think we did. I feel like we've chatted about school bus memories.
Yeah, but
I remember one I shared in particular. Go ahead.
But I wanted to talk about a little bit. First of all, hats off and salute to school bus drivers, because my wife and I had a long discussion on the way down to my mom's place, who lives down in the Menominee Eau Claire area. We talked for almost 2 hours about school bus memories, about how long it took to get to school, about people that were on your school bus, about the hierarchy process of a school bus. Mm-hmm. There's so many different things that happen within a school bus that can't be dictated, can't be controlled. They happen because it's just a lot of kids in a small area with one guy driving, one lady driving the bus. That's it.
Man, you immediately threw me into a pit of memories. Like,
that's why we talked for 2 hours about it.
I had assigned seats.
Oh, really?
So, okay. If we're going to do this, just got to lay the groundwork. We lived far away. So we were the first kids picked up by the bus. And so that meant that the bus driver was exposed to us for longer than anybody else, and that if we were going to misbehave, it stood out more. But also, we did our fair
share. But then after school, you were the first off the bus?
No. You're the out in our neck of the woods, the bus is driving an hour. Well, it's not an hour. It drove half an hour to our house. We got on, and then it takes an hour to get back as you're picking up kids. I know some routes they can kind of go circularly, but no, this was a go to the end of the gym and then on your way back collect all the prizes kind of situation for the bus driver. And that's how it worked. So we'd be there for a long time. It was an hour both ways, at least, sometimes a little more than that. But our first bus driver was a veteran, flat top and all, and he was exactly who you're picturing. Yes, that guy. Yes, yours. Yes, he was just like your military veteran bus driver. It was, Bud, I miss you.
But bus was probably well organized.
We were the longtime kids, and there were a couple other ones. So there was this group of four to six of us, depending on the year, and we were the loudest. We were there the longest, so we were the rowdiest. You know, we had the energy to burn. And finally, we came in one day, and Bud had taken a Sharpie and written our names on those aluminum spaces between the windows, and like I felt like a convict. But. You know, like, yeah, here's your number, tattoo it on your arm, and not to go there, but like, you get the idea. Like, to me, that was a sentence, you know, like I felt in trouble. But other kids saw that, like, hey, cool, why do you get a spot with your name on it? And I was popular. And that's when I learned the appeal of being a bad boy, Joel. And that probably explains most of what you've seen since we met.
So the bus driver wanted to know where you were at all times, basically, right?
Yep. He wanted to be able to look in that big panoramic rear view mirror just for all the miscreants behind you and spot.
I know where Gray is.
I wouldn't doubt that he went there with like a dry erase marker and made little red circles where my face should be when he looked up. And if it wasn't there, alert!
So were you the only one?
No, it was me and my brother, of course. I've got a brother 2 years older than me, and we were probably the worst. But there was also another family that had three boys out there and one other that was two girls, which they didn't contribute to the mess, but they were the reason we did. And so they did just as much as anybody in the eyes of the bus driver.
Of course, it's something that rural America experiences. In the big cities, not so much, because typically mom and dad are taking kids to school.
Yep.
Now, it's a rural America thing. Long rides in the school bus are more common than they are not common. I was lucky enough. My mom was a secretary to the principal at the high school. So starting in junior high or earlier, I got to ride to work with her or ride to school with her. I still rode the bus. I still remember the bus. I still remember the faces on the bus. In fact, I've had moments in my life where I've Googled these people's names that used to ride in the bus with me because I wanted to know if they were in prison.
Yep.
Because I remember one character, and everybody who has ridden a bus knows this. He was in charge. All right. He sat in the back seat. Mm-hmm. When he got on the bus, if there was someone in the back seat, they got out of the back seat, and he was in charge. He was the dictator of the bus, other than the bus driver. Kind of an unwritten rule. I don't know if you had that on your bus or how yours worked.
To a degree. I mean, less so because that was my brother. Like, it was the same at home. So it didn't seem that bus oriented to me. That was just life, and it continued in another episode later in the day. So there was that. But then there were the 2 years that, you know, my brother graduated. Well, I've got a car. So I never got to be that king of the bus, king of the backseat. I find it funny because that used to go the other direction. You know, the backseat has kind of changed. It used to be the bad one, and now it's the good one. And it seems to have transitioned sometime in the 60s or 70s. My dad tells a story, and certain listeners will remember. People my age won't remember a bus seat in the far back that went all the way across. Before the emergency exit was that door.
Okay.
And that's like, there was a clear point, I think, in the 80s where they stopped doing it that way. So some of you will, some of you won't. But if you remember that big back seat, you may remember people sitting on top of it, kind of tucked into the upper back corner of the bus itself.
Okay.
My dad tells a story about somebody sitting there who gave him some smack talk, friendly, but dad responded by charging him shoulder to stomach and putting his backside through the back window of the bus. Oh, no. There's a bus memory for you. You can't. That's never going to happen again. The glass is too thick.
We're going to have to continue this into our second segment today because I've got more things about the bus. We all remember our bus driver, of course. I mean, my wife, when we were talking about this, she just, at the snap of a finger, I remember this guy, and then I remember when he left because I was mad because I liked him. Then I got another bus driver. But I had that old school bus driver. He had the old stocking cap on his head. I remember him so
too
clearly.
Much more.
We'll talk more coming up a little later this hour about memories of riding the bus here on the Buzz of the North. More with Pat Greitlo on the Buzz of the North coming up. It's about 7:52, Cole and Gray, and we've been talking this hour about riding the school bus. It's something I was thinking about this after the conversation my wife and I had about school bus memories. And I was thinking there's a lot of great technology that we've done in this world. And for some reason, I went back to Star Trek. I went back to Star Trek, and the shh of the door on Star Trek, you know, the shh, shh, the opening. It's happening now. You walk into the grocery store. What happens?
Shh, shh, shh. Yep.
There are certain, but there's one piece of technology that we're all hoping as a kid that would have happened by now that was on the original Star Trek that would have eliminated school buses. And it's they call it the Transformer, I believe it was called, the room that you went into and you dematerialized. And then you rematerialize somewhere
else.
I'm
not sure, actually. I was never a Star Trek guy. I know it's got a name, but
I don't know what the room was called. But if we could do that, that would eliminate, that would take care of the school bus. That would end the school bus days. But we haven't been able, the school bus is the same today that it was on the very first day that the school bus was ever invented.
I thought you were going to talk about the nostalgia of the air brakes, because what's that one thing that happens right before the door opens?
Yeah,
also, exactly. You launched into this with the intro there, and I realized, is the school bus driver the first adult most kids meet by first name?
It's very true.
Yeah. Like, my school bus drivers were, like, Bud drove me to class with Mrs. Miller and with Mrs. Herbst. And then Judy drove me from school to my other bus driver on the shuttle bus where Joyce picked me up. Why did these adults deserve less respect than every other adult?
I don't know.
Like, that's like everybody else is Mr. or Mrs., but no, that's Bud driving the bus.
Yeah. And I think the popularity of the bus driver is somewhat equal to the treat that the bus driver gave you at holiday time.
Totally.
Halloween, Thanksgiving, Christmas. I remember our bus driver giving us full candy bars as we walked off the bus.
I was a little gimme hound. I was a greedy little kid. Let me dig in there. What do you got in there? And she had stuff, but hey, get out of there, you little jerk. She apologized to me once because she was a little harsh with it, but I just dove right into her stuff. Like, don't worry. Don't feel bad. That was me. You know who you are.
Hats off to our Hayward area bus drivers, by the way. It is not an easy job being a bus driver, and it takes a very strong individual to do it. And some people find joy in it. It's like any other profession, but the memories we're talking about of being on a school bus, I remember very vividly punching a kid in the stomach on the school bus because he wouldn't shut up. And my wife looked at me when I told her that, and she said, "You punched a kid?" I said, "You know what I remember about it? I said, the kid wouldn't shut up, and he wouldn't sit down." And I reached over, and I gave him a punch in the gut. I probably caught him off guard, and he lost his breath. He kind of was gasping. And I remember looking with fear at my bus driver, who's face was in the mirror, you know, in the mirror. I looked at him like, oh my gosh, I'm in trouble. And all he did, he looked up and he said, maybe he'll sit down now. I was just like, I'm off the hook, baby. I'm off the hook. And the kid did sit down.
I need every listener to understand that the guy who just told that story is the leadership of our local Lord's Cupboard food pantry, a former golf coach and volunteer coach of several kinds who donates his time. You've got a cross tattoo on your leg.
That's the memory. That's the memory that stands out. Whenever I think school bus, I think of this little snot-nosed kid I got forced to sit with who wouldn't shut up and wouldn't sit down. And I gave him a little whack in the gut. There, he took care of it.
If some lanky goof named Joel ever decked you in the stomach on a school bus, please give us a call.
But the saving of seats on a bus was something, too, depending on when you got on the bus. If you got on the bus last, There was a chance. I had three older brothers, so, and we were one of the last ones on the bus in the morning. So sometimes we'd get on there and we'd be like, "Well, where the heck are we gonna sit?"
Yep.
We all had to sit with individual people. But I remember my bus route. I can close my eyes and I can go down every single back road of my bus route from 50 years ago.
It's oh, 100%. Yeah, amazing. And who's at what stop and who lives on Divine Rapids Road. I'll tell you what, I'm kind of reminiscing about those seat-saving moments. You know what I wish I could do, Joel? If I had a time machine, one of the things that I would go back and do is go back to the day where I learned how seat-saving works. And I would tell my 7-year-old self, "Look, kid, when that little girl says her backpack is in the way, you take it and you drop it on her lap and you plant your butt in that seat. And she will learn something and you will learn something and your life will be better." Because I was that kid that, "Oh, I guess your backpack is in the way." No, it's not. No, it's not. Move it. Move it. And like, yes, that day was the day I became the type of person I am. And yeah, I'd go back to my 8-year-old self and say, "Grab that backpack, throw it 5 seats in any direction you pick, and then sit down and enjoy the show."
Yeah.
That's am I going to be a good parent, Joel? I don't know. But I know what I would tell my former self.
But and the joy that you felt when you got on the bus and you knew it was a long ride home, but you knew in your mind who wasn't on the bus. Just like, "Oh, they're not on the bus. This is going to save us probably 5 minutes because we don't have to go down that road."
Yeah. And usually it did.
Oh, yeah.
Usually it did. But like the one thing is that like we're on the major highway 20 miles straight out in a beeline. So like the most time that can possibly be saved means the ride is 55 minutes long. Like that's the minimum. So actually you end up knowing your bus driver pretty decently. You know, I consider her a friend now that I'm an adult. And I don't know if that would have been true if I'd have been a 5-minute ride.
And that rare time where you find out that someone is actually on your bus route. They never ride the bus. But it's like once a year, they're like, they have to. And you're like, "What are you doing on our bus?
Did you rent a ticket? Like, show me your admission slip. Like, I don't know if you belong." No, you're right. It's
Or when you have to go home with a friend or someone rides your bus because they're staying at a friend's house and you're like, "Cool, look, Jim's on the bus. Hey,
yeah.
Jim."
Yeah, when somebody new rides the bus, it's about you, isn't it? It's totally about you. It's like, "Wait, you're there? That's for me and I get to enjoy that."
Yeah. I got a new friend to talk to.
Yeah, like you're here and I'm the one who gets to see it and enjoy. Who cares about other people?
If Star Trek just would have figured out how to do that whole Transformer thing and make it work now, school buses would be gone. We could just materialize wherever we want to.
If we could teleport more than just teleport, school buses, think, would be gone.
Yeah, we'd be in a lot of trouble.
I think all of us would be gone, maybe.
All right. We got more with Pat Kreitlow coming up on The Buzz of the North here on a Wednesday morning. Joel and Gray, I hope you have a great Wednesday here. It is 7:50.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WBZH. I'm Mark Lundeen, and here's what's happening in Hayward today. With me today in the studio is Joshua Spiegel. He is with the Wisconsin DNR, and today we're going to be talking about the sounds of elk. Now, I didn't see any elk horn that you brought with you. Are you going to imitate an elk for me?
I don't have my calls, so use your imagination with this.
All right. Well, you're doing a workshop, not necessarily a workshop, but a walking tour of the elk habitat. And I'm assuming this is going to be up near the Cable, Wisconsin area.
Yeah, so it's going to be based out of the Clam Lake area, so working with the Cable Natural History Museum. And the goal behind this, it's actually kind of a long-running field tour that they've reached out annually. Kind of ties into a unique time of year from the elk front. So, that time of year, elk are extremely vocal. You know, they're few of the deer family members that make, they're the only deer family member that routinely makes a large noise that can be heard from long distances. So part of our DNR sampling is going out and getting to hear these animals and doing our counts. And what we can do at that same time frame is offer this field tour to hopefully get people to hear and see elk at the same time.
Oh, okay. So you're going to be touring out in the woods where the deer and the elk live.
Yep, where the deer and the elk roam. Yep, that's right. So, very early morning, so activity is best right at daybreak, cool mornings. Obviously, sure. We've got the date set for this already, so we're hoping for a cool morning that really invigorates those animals. But, yep, early morning meeting, I think it's a 6 a.m. meet at the specified location. The Cable Museum of Natural History has all that information.
Oh, okay.
People do have to be physically able. We're going to be walking through the woods a little bit. We can't guarantee that that we're going to see and hear elk right off the side of the highway or sure. roadway, whatever. But in order to get a good view of them, a good hear of them as well, get some good vocalization, we might have to go into the woods a little ways.
Yeah. So what was the project there? Maybe you can let me know how the elk got concentrated up in the Clam Lake area. How did this, was it a program that brought them up there and we're trying to get them adapted to this area? Tell me a little bit of the history about the elk in Clam Lake.
In 1995, UW-Stevens Point was granted permission by the governor to bring in 25 elk from the state of Michigan to start a project to see if they could sustain on the landscape.
Okay.
And ultimately they did. In the year 2000, the DNR hired an elk biologist and maintained those elk after the completion of the research project in 1999. So kind of threw them out there, said, yep, they'll make it. Here you go. So since about 1999, the DNR has been maintaining those elk on the landscape and getting them to the point of self-sustaining on the landscape.
You also mentioned as part or not part of the field trip, but following the field trip, just a couple days later, the area of Clam Lake is holding a festival. And tell me a little more about that participation.
Yeah, so much like many of our small communities up here in northern Wisconsin, Clam Lake had kind of to reach out to myself and partners like Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation and a lot of other groups with interest to hold a small community event related to the elk, right? This is the origin of the most recent elk reintroduction and kind of that 30-year history going back to 1995.
Yeah.
So a few years back here, the community started putting together this small community. And, a lot of it is small vendors, food. They've got some music.
Sure.
The couple businesses there at the intersection of Highway 77 and MGG, et cetera.
Yeah.
They all got together and they thought, hey, this is a good way for us to bring people to town, but also to promote the elk, which is unique to us here. You know, there's elk in a few places in the state of Wisconsin, but again, this is the origin. So they wanted to start over, say, hey, we are extremely proud of our elk. And so they came up with Elk Fest. I know one of the vendors is doing an antler shed hunt for kids. That's become a really cool item. So we're just hoping to get people in the area. I know there's a lot of fall festivals up here.
Right. Yeah.
That's Saturday the 20th, I believe, of September. So people will be coming up, starting to see the color changes, taking those nice fall trips. And we hope that folks will swing out to Elk Fest as well and kind of learn about elk in Wisconsin.
Yeah, very cool. So tell me, because I've been out there a couple of times and I've seen the elk on the shoulders of the road. What are some safety tips, real quick safety tips that you can give besides stay in your car and keep the windows rolled up?
But
you don't want to take pictures.
Right.
But they seem so docile and tame, you know?
Right. We don't have any of the cool signs like they do out in Yellowstone and that, you know, stay in your vehicle. But yeah, that's one of the biggest things. Obviously, they're one of the biggest animals out there. They know that there's very little competition or negative aspects to their environment, so they're comfortable. They stay nice and relacked. They're not going to run off like white-tailed deer do. And just traveling through the area, that's one of the big things. They typically don't run across the road. They walk. So when you're driving, you don't anticipate them to run like a whitetail.
Right.
They might kind of do a light trot, but they hardly ever run. So if you are going to pull over on the side of the road to look at elk, make sure you're well aware of passing vehicles, et cetera. Another good reason to stay in your vehicle. But again, they are wild animals. You know, they might look docile and tame, but especially through the fall months, those bulls are extremely aggressive and Sure. They want to defend their territory, so you don't really want to press them on that as well. No. So best thing is, you know, just stay a safe distance, 100 plus yards away. Take as many pictures as you want. Enjoy the experience, but let's not press the animals. And then right. Be safe on those roadways, especially if you pull over.
Yep, very good. Joshua with the DNR, thank you very much for stopping in and telling us more about elk, and we look forward to seeing you at the field trip.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Have a great day.
You've been listening to The Morning Buzz on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Take your favorite WBZH shows with you on the go by downloading the Civic Media app in the Apple or Google Play stores. Coming up after local news and information, my colleague Pat Kreitlow returns. I'm Mark Lundeen, and I'll be back with more Hayward area information tomorrow morning. It's 8:59.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.